What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? This is Rick Sincere, man. I guess you know by now, right? So, I'm at Myrtle Beach, chilling. I know. I kind of want to pull, what's my dude? I can't remember that dude's name. Lil Bow Wow. I kind of want to pull a Lil Bow Wow, right? And I want to be like, I just kind of want to play like ocean water in the background so y'all know. So y'all know that it's real. But no, real talk, I'm at Myrtle Beach. But I'm not at the actual beach. I'm in a hotel room right now. Chilling. I am chilling. And right now I'm at a science conference. And so for those of y'all who don't know, outside of, you know, rap and stuff like that that I do, I do a lot of science. Like, that's my whole deal, right? Like, I'm a professor. So the Rick Sincere, you know, PhD situation is a real thing, right? I have a PhD in biomedical science with a concentration in cardiovascular research. That's kind of my thing. I focused on epigenetics, and I loved the whole thing. Like, I loved everything that I was able to do coming out of Morehouse School of Medicine, where I did my PhD, and then I left from there and did my postdoc at Emory, where I focused on epigenetics and its relationship with induced pluripotent stem cells. And I'll just break down the whole pluripotent stem cell situation. And so pluripotent stem cells are basically cells that can become any part of the body, like anything in the body, these cells can become. And you find them after a few steps in fertilization. And some people are like, yo, you just lost me. But no, follow me, right? So sperm meets egg, and then there's this cell division, right? And so once sperm and egg fuse, there's this cell division that happens. And so they divide and divide and divide, and then they get to this part where there's a marula, and then you kind of move on to a place where there's a kind of like this outer membrane of cells, and then there's an inner cell mass. That inner cell mass, right, after there's been so many divisions, that inner cell mass are populated with pluripotent stem cells, which means that, remember, we're talking about fertilization. So at that point, those cells inside can become anything in the body. Like, they can make heart, skin, brain, anything in the body that could be made. And so the cool part about this whole induced pluripotent stem cell thing is that you have the ability to take your skin cells, right? Like, the cells that are on your skin. Now, if you didn't know, I'm gonna just let you know that, you know, your whole body's made up of a bunch of cells. You have like cells everywhere, and I know you already know this, but maybe you don't, right? But it's all cool. And so you have cells everywhere in your body. And so on your skin, all cells, right? Your heart, break it down, made up of cells, right? Like, every single part of you made is made up of cells. And so the thing is that you have the ability, follow me now, you have the ability to take these skin cells and turn them into stem cells, which means you can go from skin all the way back to stem cells, and then you can take those stem cells and turn them into anything in your body. Like, you can take your skin, turn them into stem cells, and then from there turn those stem cells into brain cells to help you out, or neurons to help you out, or you can turn them into cardiomyocytes, right, or heart cells that'll help you out as well. And so this whole thing really came about because there was so much protesting about stem cells. Like, people used to really, really hate on the whole stem cell research thing. And the cool part is, I used to work for this dude. So I used to work for this guy at Morehouse School of Medicine. He's a Catholic, right? And so what he would do is he would go out on Saturdays and lead this march. He would be like at the front of the line talking about, stop stem cell research, stop stem cell research, I don't want it anymore, right? He's leading with a whole bunch of Catholics. And then for the rest of the week, he was the head of the stem cell corps He was the head of the stem cell core at his job. It was hilarious. He told me about it. But I think he was just, like, participating in some church marches. I don't know if he was yelling and screaming, but he was out there. And so, but through the week, he was the head of the stem cell core. And I used to work for that guy. But either way, so I really got into, like, science and all that kind of stuff. In college, there was this guy who was an absolute beast of teaching, man. Benny Miles, my dude, Benny Miles, man. I was at Grambling State University. I went in, and I saw him doing his thing. Actually, I was a computer science major at the time. Super loved computer science. That was my joint, right? Actually, I somewhat love computer science. The reason I somewhat loved it, I loved it because of what my mom said about it. She was like, look, if you go into this field, money awaits you. And I wanted that. I'm like, yo, that's what I want. Because don't we all? Isn't that the whole point of going to school? Like, at the end of the day, don't you go to school for that particular purpose to actually, like, increase your earning potential? Absolutely you do. We all do, right? And so the whole thing for me was that's what I wanted to do, increase my earning potential. So I was like, yo, I'm going into computer science. But I got into this biology class, and my dude was up there doing his thing. I mean, he was so good. He was funny. He was engaging. He was, like, you know, kind of bringing me, like, into it. And he told me this one thing that kind of stuck with me. It was like, look, biology is the study of you. And if you love you, then you're going to love biology, right? You want to know why your teeth turn yellow? You want to know why, and this is my thing, right? You want to know why, you want to know the difference between white meat and dark meat when you go to Popeyes and you eat? Like, you really want to understand that kind of stuff? And I don't know, I'm big, so I really cared about that. So I don't know why, what's the difference? What's white meat? What's the dark meat? What's the difference? And so he basically broke all that stuff down to me, man. And I would go back and run and tell my friends all the stuff he would tell us in class, right? He was like, I mean, I know we have that talk with your mom about how did I get here, right? What's the whole thing? And they have this difficult conversation about sex. But this dude is basically breaking down fertilization. What happens at fertilization? And what happens throughout that whole entire process? And I was like, that's crazy to me. I got mad excited about it, and I really changed my major. I changed my major from computer science to biology because I wanted to know what was going on, man. I really did. And so not only did I want to know what was going on, I wanted to be like that guy. I was like, I want to be life-changing. I want to dive into somebody's situation and say, look, I know that, you know, you have your interests, but I guarantee if you even, like, if you hear what I'm saying for a second, you can vibe with this, everything can change for you, man. So for me, I just wanted to get people excited about biology. Like, he got me excited about biology. This dude was wild. He used to come to class and spray people with water guns and talk about the adhesive and cohesive nature of water. And I'm like, yo, like, that's this is my guy. Like I want to be like that, right? And so I got excited. I wanted to be like him. And so when I talked to him, he was like, man, if you want to be like me, he used to bob his head up and down a little bit. He was an older guy. He used to bob his head and talk. So he was like, if you want to be like me, man, not only do you have to go all the way and get your PhD, but when you do go and get your PhD, you got to come back and you got to give back, right, to the community that you came from. And I was like, all right, I hear you. And so he's basically talking about teaching at a minority serving institution, right? And so I was like, all right, cool. So I actually went about that route. Actually, after his class, and I took several of his classes after that. You know how you do when you get to college, you find that guy, and he's great. You want to take all his classes? Man, I wanted to do that, and so I did it. I chased, and I was like, yo, I want to do all the stuff that he did, and so I did. And I went ahead and, you know, got my PhD, and then after I got my PhD, I wanted to kind of find a place. The place that I found was this place called Georgia Gwinnett College, right? And so when I was leaving out of Morehouse School of Medicine, I went to Emory for a postdoc. There was a special type of postdoc where you did your first program. And this first program was basically teaching teachers how to teach, basically teaching PhDs how to teach. And so actually, yo, after I graduated, I got a call. I was actually going to graduate that Saturday. That Thursday before I graduated, I got a call from Grambling, and they wanted me to come down and you know, teach and become one of their faculty members. And I was like, look, I want to do that. I'm super down to do that. But I want you to pay me the highest amount you can pay me to do it. And I'm going to go to get this. I'm going to go into this first program, learn how to teach. And then when I finally do come to you, I want to max out. Right. And the guy was like, I was afraid you'd say that. And but either way, I was like, I need to go figure out how to do it, because I don't want to just walk into most of your PhDs. They don't get formal training in teaching. So you just kind of walk into a situation where people say, hey, you got a PhD, you can teach straight up. Just go do it. And I just didn't want to do that. I really wanted to be dynamic in the classroom. I wanted to be great. I wanted to be like, I wanted to really allow my students to have life-changing experiences. And so just the way my professor did for me. And so I went to Emory to learn how to do that. And so I really got a chance to do it. I did some teaching over at Spelman. I did some teaching at Morehouse. I got a chance to do a little teaching at Emory. And I learned under a mentor at Emory. And so I went to this one thing. I just went to go share my story with Georgia Gwinnett College at a thing that they call STARS, the day that they do for biology students. And so I went there, and you know, I just kind of start talking. I got a chance to like share my story. But what I could tell about the students there is that they were chock full of potential. Like they had so much potential. However, they had no confidence. They had all this potential. They just didn't know where to go or what was available or what to do and what they could be. But they had all this, like, you know what I mean? They had so much potential. They were so smart, and I can tell that. And I was like, look, I understand that student. The student who doesn't know or can't fully realize their purpose because they just don't have the confidence to chase after their dreams. And so I jumped in. I jumped in to Georgia Gwinnett College because I felt that that's where God wanted me to go. After I left Emory, I didn't know what the situation was, but God blessed me, really blessed me. And every place that I went to interview, and I got about 4 interviews, every place that I went to interview, I got a job offer every single place. And I got a job offer from a place I didn't even interview in, right? Somebody just randomly called me and offered me another job. And I was like, I don't know. I didn't know what was God. I didn't know what God was doing at that moment. No clue. But I knew that He was giving me this for some type of purpose, right? Like He was like opening up all these doors for some type of purpose. But when He opened the Georgia Gwinnett door, I ran through it because that's the place I wanted to be, because that's the place I felt where God wanted me to be. And so I went to Georgia Gwinnett College. And since I've been here, I've really been enjoying it. Now, the reason I'm here at Myrtle Beach is because I'm at a science conference. And at the science conference, what you can do is you can really have students. So in my classroom now, I got students. They're really diving in to doing their own research, and their research is focused on genetically modified foods, right? So genetically modified soy-based products. And so, you know, this whole thing is going on in the news and everywhere. People are concerned about GMOs. And at some point, it was a big concern, probably around 2012, 2013, 2014, super huge concern. Nowadays, everything's, you know, labeled non-GMO or organic and all kind of stuff, and people can really move into their places and kind of pick and choose that, you know, what type of foods that they want. Most people actually don't really even care that much about genetically modified organisms, to be honest with you. It's kind of, to most people, it's kind of played out, right? Well, there are some things that are labeled non-GMO that students do kind of care to see if they cost more. And this is why they care, because those things that are labeled non-GMO cost more. Now, the thing is that last spring, I had some students who really did some investigating, and they kind of found out that one of the things that was labeled non-GMO, when they tested it, didn't really come up as non-GMO in their testing. And so my whole class has been investigating this and going through it and through it again. And so what we found so far is that actually most of the things that are labeled non-GMO are actually non-GMO. Most of the protein powders, anyway, soy-based, are non-GMO. Now, what you don't know is that 93% of all soy in America is genetically modified. Actually, the figure may be a little bit higher than that now, but it's about 93-94% of all soy in America is genetically modified. And so we kind of wanted to, you know, go through the whole testing and see if everything labeled non-GMO that was really soy-based, right, was it real? So, and we somewhat find out that it's somewhat real, right? So the cool part is that my students get a chance to do some of the stuff that I used to get a chance to do, which is to come out to a really cool place, right, and present. So they're presenting and they're doing their thing and they're like rocking it, you know. They're, you know, talking to people. They're just knocking it out, just doing their thing. And then when they're not doing their thing, then they're kicking it. They're having a good time because it's Myrtle Beach, you feel me? And so, like, I'm doing the same thing. I'm here. I'm engaging. I'm interacting. And then when I'm not doing that, I'm enjoying the fact that I'm on Myrtle Beach. And so this is a part of my life that I really do enjoy. Now, this ain't the part that's going to have you like, yo, that's a real high rapper. Like, yo, I got to find out what's going on with this rapper, right? Like, this ain't that. What this is another part of my life that I really, really enjoy, right? I have several different parts of my life that I super enjoy, but this is the science of it all. This is the part where I really kind of dive in. So my general passion is not, like, I do absolutely love, you know, spitting. Like, that's my thing. Like, I like doing that, right? But you want to reach my, like, soul, like, my like, the part of me that peps up and, like, moves boulders, yo, is to move a student or a person from a place where they don't believe that they can do anything or be anything to the place where they can realize that they can be anything that they dream they want to be, right? For instance, if somebody's like, I talked to this girl yesterday. She was saying, I'm really interested in this research, but I think I'm just going to go maybe for like a master's because I don't, you know, I don't think I can be anything else. And at that moment, my heart sparks because I know she's one of my former students. So I know she can go get her PhD. She loves it enough to chase it and go get her PhD if she wants it. I asked her, do you want your PhD? And she said, yeah, I do, but I just don't think I'm smart enough. And immediately I'm like, I'm revved up because I want to see her realize the big dream, not the small one that she thinks she can obtain, right? And so my whole thing is this, like, I love this stuff, man. I love teaching. I love moving students. I love really diving into that stuff. I also want to do this for the kingdom, right? I had a chance to preach right before I came on this trip. Now, I'm not perfect in any stretch, so don't get that twisted. But right before I came on this trip, and we came here Wednesday. That Wednesday morning, I had a chance to speak to some students at a middle school. And I was actually preaching a sermon, and it was my first time doing that in quite some time. And it felt like this is something God wants me to do also, right? So, actually, before I did it, I just signed up. God was like, yo, go to this thing and sign up. So I went and I signed up, and I got a chance to do it. And I felt that that's something I should be doing as well. So in my mind, I feel like God has a few different plans that he wants. Hopefully with this album, there's a plan. Prayerfully with my ministry, there's a plan. With this science stuff, there's a plan. And I just want to follow that plan. So thank y'all so much for joining me today. Man, I'm just excited, right? I'm going back to chilling, I guess, well, in Myrtle Beach, right? But not on the beach just yet. Anyway, I love y'all. I pray the best for y'all. Talk to you later. Bye.